This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. The Kuskokwim 300 Red Lantern Award, given to the last place finisher, is meant to honor perseverance in the sled dog sport. It's a word fitting for the story of a 17-year-old musher's first ever 300-mile race. KYUK's Samantha Watson reports.
Charlie Chingliak needed special permission to run the K300 alongside the adults. Those adults are mostly professionals, Iditarod champs who run dogs full-time or as part of sled dog tour businesses. And they're mostly not from the YK Delta. But Chingliak is growing up just upriver from the start line. He's a high school student from Akiachuk who fits the sport in around homework and basketball practice.
I had a game at 7, missed out to come to the banquet.
It was the teenager's first ever 300-mile race, and it was grueling. There was a lot of new things to navigate, like how to actually sleep at checkpoints. By the time he left the final checkpoint, Chingliak hadn't slept in nearly 3 days.
Yeah, I had a seat, so I was just sitting on the seat. Like, I tied a rope around my hand, so if I fall off, they just drag me.
He also encountered a local musher's disadvantage, passing outside of Akiachuk, when some of his dogs began to pull toward home. But he kept going, and as most of the teams passed the finish line, a lot of people tuned in online to track Chingliak's progress through a GPS tracker on the K300 website. But about 13 miles from the finish line, that GPS tracker stopped moving.
And out of nowhere behind Akiachuk, one dog just, like, it was done. I was tired also.
On the Gweek River, coming into Bethel, Charlie and his dog hit a wall. He says he called his family. He also called the K300 race manager on the phone.
And I told him, I think I'm done. I was telling people, this dog is done. I'm, like, drained.
While he was stopped there, trying to figure out what to do, Chingliak got a text from champion and Bethel musher Pete Kaiser, who had crossed the finish line hours earlier and won the race. Kaiser asked him about the dog and gave him some advice. The veteran musher told him, when you can't keep going and you don't want to scratch, there's a third option. You can take a break.
Yeah, they were telling me to take my time, and so I was just sitting there for a while thinking, and I didn't come this far to, like, give up.
Chingliak says he fed his dogs and decided to camp out on the trail. He huddled on the sled, curled up in his sleeping bag. Alone on the tundra, in near zero temps, the young musher got his first sleep of the race. Charlie's family was parked on the ice road not far from Akiachuk, watching for him. Here's his dad, Jeff Chingliak.
We couldn't communicate each other because he had no signal. So I just once in a while I'd check his status on the tracker.
Then, Chingliak says, about 4 hours after Charlie's tracker had stopped, he checked again.
I checked. It was moving.
He looked off into the distance, and there was Charlie's headlight, moving closer.
My wife woke up and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, look to your side. Oh, is that Charlie?
Letting the dogs rest had worked.
That dog just got up and started moving around, started being himself, and that's when I knew it was ready to get up and finish.
His dad says all of a sudden, the world came back into motion.
My phone started going out my messenger ringing, getting messages. Is Charlie moving? Yep, he's on his way to the finish line.
He says a line of cars appeared behind him, coming from Akiachuk. Apparently, other people from home had been staying up, watching the tracker. At the finish line, it is 2 a.m, and yet a line of trucks is parked along the chute, and a small crowd has formed. Among them are Charlie's family, but he's also met by all these YK Delta mushers, like Mike Williams Jr. and Pete Kaiser, Huitlac mushers Raymond and Harry Alexi are there. Charlie's dad said it surprised even him. He thought everybody would be sleeping. The blink of Charlie's headlamp appears out of the dark. It grows steadily closer and brighter.
So emotional, I was just trying not to cry. And you know, it was just happy tears.
It's a moment bursting with glory. But for Charlie, it was about his team.
Yep, I'm very proud of those dogs. I was like just happy to finish and pack the dogs up and go home and sleep.
He said his goal going into the K300 was just to finish. He wanted to learn about longer distance races. He said he saw his 54 hours on the trail like a kind of school. Now, Charlie goes back to actual school and daily teenage life. He says he's planning to train as a carpenter after graduation and might take some time away from the sport. But after finishing the K300, Charlie tells me who he is on the YK Delta as a musher is different now.
I saw like a kid ask for your autograph on a t-shirt. Yeah. Like, how does that feel? Does it feel like something has changed?
Yeah, I get like a lot of people saying they look up to me.
He says his supporters, like his family, fellow mushers, that text from Pete Kaiser, they're what pushed him through the finish line.
Yeah, so I wouldn't want to give up on them and scratch, so I just went with it and I finished.
At the Mushers Banquet, Chingliak is named Rookie of the Year. He is also given the Red Lantern Award. In sled dog race tradition, it's given to the last place finisher in honor of the perseverance it takes to see a race through.
Taking home $3,600, the only rookie in this year's race.
The pride in the room is palpable.
From Akyachuk, Charlie Chingliak.
In Bethel, I'm Samantha Watson.
Salmon bycatch has been a flashpoint for years. Now, the group that oversees Alaska's federal fishing grounds is finally expected to make a decision regarding chum bycatch in the trawl fishery at its upcoming February meeting. KUCB's Theo Greenlee reports that un-Alaska leaders worry the decision could threaten the pollock industry that underpins the island's economy.
The un-Alaska City Council took up the issue of salmon bycatch at its two January meetings, ultimately agreeing to support industry-run bycatch avoidance programs. City Fisheries consultant Frank Kelty warned council members that proposed limits could have major consequences for the community.
This is one of the most important items in the last few years.
Regulators are weighing whether to impose stricter limits on chum salmon bycatch in the pollock fishery. The decision will be made next month by the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, which oversees federal fisheries in the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands. Kelty told council members that the pollock bee season, which accounts for about 60% of the annual pollock harvest, is particularly at risk. He pointed to one proposal that would cap incidental catch of chum at 100,000 fish. Kelty said under that scenario, the pollock bee season would have shut down early in 11 of the past 12 years. That, he said, would ripple through Unalaska's economy, affecting processors, harvesters, city revenues, and support businesses.
As you know, the politics of bycatch have been front and center in the state for many years.
Trawl boats use large nets to scoop up a specific species of fish, but they often catch other types of fish, called bycatch. It's been a hot-button issue for decades and taken on new urgency as salmon returns to western Alaska rivers have collapsed in recent years. Runs on the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers have reached crisis levels, forcing repeated closures of subsistence fisheries that native communities depend on for food. At the same time, the Bering Sea pollock fleet continues to catch, and often discard, chum salmon as bycatch. In some years, the fleet has caught more chum salmon than subsistence users along the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers are allowed to harvest, fueling anger and frustration. But genetic testing indicates that only a portion of chum salmon caught as bycatch originates from those western Alaska rivers, while most comes from hatchery fish from Asia or stocks from outside the region, including the Gulf of Alaska and Pacific Northwest. Still, communities in western Alaska have argued that controlling bycatch is the simplest fix for a complex problem. Kelty says it's important to have Unalaska's interests represented at the fishery meeting, where a large number of interest groups are expected to testify.
We're going to have a large amount of testimony at the North Pacific Council from many groups in western Alaska that would like to see strict alternatives placed on the pollock fishery, and I'm very concerned about that.
Caitlin Yeager is the executive director of the At-Sea Processors Association, an industry group that represents the catcher-processor fleet in the Bering Sea. She told Unalaska City Council members that the fleet is already making strides to reduce bycatch in areas where western Alaska chum bycatch is likely, and that hard caps on trawlers would be disastrous for processing communities like Unalaska.
And that means that vessels are tied up at the dock, our processing lines are empty, you have fewer deliveries, and this is an echoing shockwave throughout the community.
Yeager said the At-Sea Processors Association favors targeted tools like time and area closures and real-time genetic testing over hard caps. That's another suite of proposals under consideration by the North Pacific Fishery Management Council.
We need to maintain a degree of flexibility to adapt and continue these improvements without shutting down the fishery and shutting down coastal economies with it.
The Unalaska City Council ultimately passed a resolution that supports bycatch rules that don't shut down the fishery. The city will file its public testimony with the North Pacific Fishery Management Council ahead of the February meeting. Reporting from Portland, Oregon, I'm Theo Greenlee.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganumchit. Coming up.